in the name of Jesus. Just be calm for a second. You know, we are talking about restoration, and some of the things God will do hinges on the grace of God on your life. And that's why the Lord is already working. I'm hearing a trumpet in the spirit. And it's like somebody is blowing a flute. And he said it's an anointing of a psalmist. And it's towards my right hand side. It's an anointing of a psalmist. These are the things that makes ways. And these are some of the things that princes in darkness have sat upon that have mitigated your advancement in life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the carrier of that grace, I throw my weight on you. Now, let that grace begin to speak. I throw my weight on you in the spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus, the one with that oil. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Please sit down for a moment. Thank you so much. God bless you. I want to share briefly. You know, tonight will be brutal. And if I don't share one or two things, you may not understand what we want to do. What we do is not excitement. It's deeper than that. We change the stories of men. We rewrite their destinies by the grace of God. And we fight against forces that prevent the emancipation of people held in darkness. You know, when a man walks, he labors and he talks. But when a God is walking, he talks. A man wants to build, he will begin to put blocks together and toil all day and night. But when a God wants to build, he prophesies. Gods build by talking. And that's why we keep shaping the destinies of men by bringing to them the oracles of God. And nobody is permitted to leave this meeting tonight without receiving something that will change your story forever. This is why I need to teach, so that you will know what you have contacted and you will know how to administer it. Are we together? Thank you, Father. To you, Lord, we open the door. Come light our hearts with fire. You are our heart desire. Come light our world. To you, Lord, we open the door. Light our hearts with fire. You are our heart desire. Come light our hope. Yahweh, Yahweh, wiping away somebody's tears. It looks as if your mom died and you've not been able to recover because of the pains that it have caused you. Your mom seems to be like the breadwinner, the intercessor of the house. She was a strong pillar. This person I'm talking about, I think, is somewhere around there. It looks as if you lost your mom and there's been grief in your heart. The Lord is wiping your tears. It looks as if there is no way forward, going forward in life. But God is wiping your tears. Somewhere around here. You're the one. Yahweh, let your fire fall. Yahweh, Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, hey, Yahweh. Let your fire there somebody on this second row, third row, looks as if your business, you started a business, is under attack, like things crumbled, you started again or something around your business, somewhere here? Is anybody here like that, doing a business of some sort? You just wave at me if you are around. You don't need to stand. Somewhere around here, looks like you are attempting business again and again, and it keeps crumbling. I don't know of whatever sort. Is anybody like that here? To you, Lord, we open the door. Come light our heart, sweet fire. You are our heart, desire. Come light our womb. Thank you, Father. There's an anointing coming on somebody here. It looks like for business, starting a business, you've done a business, it's like it's not working. Things are dying around your hand. But God wants to quicken an oil to provoke the grace of entrepreneurship. Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever this person is that you want to stir up a new beginning in the corridor of finance and business, economy, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as I stretch my hands in this direction, let the anointing come upon that one. Take! Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, hey, Yahweh, let your fire fall. Psalm 24, verse 7. You know, the greatest undoing of many Christians is a lack of discernment. So they walk through life assuming that things will be left to luck and chance. Nobody makes a headway in life by luck and chance. When you assume things play out in life by luck and chance, you will be a victim of circumstances. The men that get ahead in life, the people that prevail in life, are the people that first of all discern that there are spiritual entities that either prevent or make things happen. They discern that nothing on earth is by chance. Every manifestation, every occurrence on the face of the earth is manipulated by spirit entities, either to negate occurrences or to facilitate them. The moment they realize this, they begin to seek the mystery and the intelligence required to align with these spirits in order to have a headway in life. If you don't discern the place of spiritual entities in advancing realities and then pay the price of aligning with them, you will be a victim in life. You know, when you share these things, most times the people that fight it are either the poor that are not making any progress and are not willing to make progress, or those to whom others have labored for and they are walking in that inheritance. So because they did not pay the price, they will assume that things happen by luck and chance. If they were to go back in history to study by what means the realities they walked in began to flow in their lineage, they will understand that definite prices were paid, deliberate steps were taken, and efforts were put on ground for dimensions to open to them. However, if you are not in the category of such, it is important for you to discern the forces that makes for things to happen and to align with them. In Psalm 24, verse 7, the Lord of hosts was about to make a grand entrance into the realms eternal. And there were forces that were mitigating and limiting the advancement of the Lord of hosts. So if the Lord of hosts is being prevented from entering into dimension, dimensions of reality. Who are you? He said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. You need to pay attention first to the designation and the credentials of the personality that was being prevented from stepping into reality. One, he was called a king. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4, it said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? But the gates are not conscious of your authority until you exercise them. So a king came in his glory. He didn't come forgetting his glory. The Bible said he was addressed as the King of glory. He came with majesty, but the gates will not respond until authorities were enacted. You cannot come to a place and say, I am a prophet, so I will succeed. They don't care the designation with which you come. You can't come to a place and say, I'm an apostle. There are over 1 million apostles in Nigeria. They are not heard. They don't hear you because you have credentials. They don't hear you because you have a track record. They don't hear you because you look good. You don't get the contract because you have experience. You don't get the job because you made the first class. You don't get the job because you are in that territory. You don't even get the job because your father is of that land. You get the job when authority is exercised, because even the King of glory in his fullest credentials was undermined. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. How come, why were the gates not afraid that a king had made an appearance? Why were the gates not afraid that a king came in his glory? Because these beings are rebellious, and until they are subjugated, they will never bow. If you don't understand gates and how they work, your credentials notwithstanding will leave you in poverty. If you don't understand how gates work, your anointing notwithstanding, you will remain in poverty. If you don't understand how gates work, your ordination will rest in your belly as potentials until you leave this world. Because even the King of glory was resisted. He came in his majesty, but they didn't care. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. The things I want to share this evening are not emotional things. I can start a revival service now. But you can receive impartations and go back. Without knowledge, you'll still be a slave. The Bible said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times. If you don't have understanding, you will carry impartations upon impartations, mantles upon mantles, but you'll be a beggar. You'll be a slave and you'll be a weakling. Things will go wrong because gates will stand and they will not allow you entrance. What are gates? I know my brother have addressed a dimension of it in the positive light. So let me talk about the negative dimension of gates. Do you know why things are not working in this country? It's because of gates. They call them the cabal. If you don't address gates, nothing will work. Your talent will waste. Your credentials will waste. Your track record will come for nothing. The reason this country is strangled with the presence of apostles, prophets, teachers is because there is a gate that have not been touched. And until you crumble the gate, nothing will work. A good message can change nothing except the gates are touched. But Peter will remain in prison until the gate open. If the gates don't open, even if chains fall off your hand, you will still be enslaved. Gates must begin to open over people for dimensions to be experienced. A man can be the most anointed in a generation, but a gate can keep him in hiding. And with all his rema, he will raise the dead, but he will be hidden. Not because God kept him there, but because a gate says you will never rise. These are the mysteries of life that many take for granted. I pray somebody, okay. You know, gates are not just access points. No. You know,
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
Never join the ignorant that knows nothing and talk foolishly. Nothing is by chance or by luck. Nothing. Never join them. Especially nobody has fought up tons of possibility for you. Never join them. I can is because I know it by experience. I am the first preacher in my lineage. There was nobody who left a heritage for me. I have to break into possibilities. I have to defy protocols to ascend. So I know what I'm telling you.
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on you. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne.
In the name of Jesus. You want me to teach or you want us to do revival? You know, some people love fire so much. So if the gates are not dealt with, the King of Glory will stand outside, stranded. And then you look at him, you say, are you not a king? I'm a king. He was not dethroned. Don't you have glory anymore? I carry so much of it. Why are you stranded? The gates are locked. You know, many people who you see walking on the street, stranded, it's not because their potentials is not sufficient to change a nation. The gates are locked. You see a man full of wisdom. Every problem you begin to talk about, he has 30 solutions to it. Then you now wonder, why are you here? The gates are locked. Some people even have money. Money. But the gate to business is locked. So every investment they do, they fail. And they keep losing millions upon millions. And then you say, what is going on? The guy came into business with 30 million. After 2 years, he's left with 2 million. What is happening? I thought you came into business. The gates are locked. If he doesn't know the way to the city, he will waste everything he has. And even if he keeps it, it will be of none effect. Because the gates are locked. So one of the intelligences for advancement in life is the ability to break open gates. Because most times they refuse to open. So you break them. You are mighty on your throne. A gate is actually a conclave of spiritual entities that exercises authority and dominion over people, over systems, over territories, and over nations. It's a conclave, a company of spiritual entities and forces that exercises dominion over people, over entities, over systems, and over territories, and over nations. They are the forces that determines whether things happen or not. And the problem is this. If you are not able to deal with the guilt, everything you have is a waste. You may not believe what I'm telling you, but don't allow life to teach you. You may learn it when you are 90 years old. And the battles you don't win will become warfare for your children. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus made a statement. Peter spoke. He said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am?" Jesus wanted to institute the church on the face of the earth. He couldn't. Because he knew that if the gates of hell are not dealt with, it's a waste to start the church. Meanwhile, somebody enters a territory and he starts International Revival Center. He has not dealt with the gate, and then he thinks it will work. Somebody comes to a territory, starts a business. He has not. Jesus wanted to start the church the moment he began his ministry. But if the gates of hell can prevail, it's a waste. So Jesus had to educate these guys for over 3 years with him. Because they needed to pick the key for themselves. And he said, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am?" The Bible said, some said you are Elias. Some say you are Jeremiah. Some say you are one of the prophets. And say you. You see the reason why the guys never prospered in spiritual things. Because the gates of hell dominated them. They didn't know the way to the city. So some of them assumed that the way God will bring his government upon the was the ministry of Elijah. They were wrong. Others thought the foundation of God's government was the ministry of Jeremiah. Jesus could not build because the gate of hell brought Elijah down. The gate of hell brought Jeremiah down. Because the gate of hell is not just when you are doing ministry. If they can't deal with you when you are doing ministry, they have already manipulated time and age will bring you down. So at some point they became old and they had no choice but to go. But there is a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek that is eternal. So you can't deal with him by sickness, you can't deal with him by poverty, and even about life is immortal. And the moment they discerned it, he said, upon this revelation, because he said, "Thou art Petros, upon this Petra I will build my ecclesia." So he wasn't talking to Peter. He was talking to the revelation of the Christ that Peter caught. And he said, "The gates of Hades shall not prevail against thee." Now, the moment Jesus knew that the gate of hell was defeated, Jesus had the liberty to start the church. And a few months later, he left them and went to heaven. If the gate is addressed, everything is sorted out. Why would Jesus leave novices? Why would Jesus leave naive men? Why would Jesus leave men that didn't have so much understanding? Meanwhile, the doctors of the law had all the understanding, but God couldn't commit the church to them. It is men who don't really have understanding God committed church to. These ones have prevailed against the gates. If you win the battle of the gates, even if you don't have experience in ministry, your ministry will prosper. You will learn on the job. But somebody else can go to 20 Bible schools, have all the exegesis and the theology, but he has not dealt with the gates. With his knowledge, he will fail woefully in ministry. He will apply all the principles he knows, they will not work. You may know only one principle, and you will work with that one principle, and you will start growing. God will be teaching you while you are doing the job. But somebody else who is impeccable and excellent will grumble. What is the difference? It's the gate. The moment they dealt with the gate of Hades, Jesus left them. And say the church will grow. No matter what happens, the church will grow. Because the only thing that can stop the church from growing are the gates. For some people, gates are wicked human beings partnering with spirits and preventing your advancement. For some people, gates are principalities in darkness. They don't even need human partnership because they have found the weight of your destiny. They are fighting you tooth and nail to ensure you don't manifest. For you to manifest, you must understand the battles of the gates. The King of Glory was prevented from entering into manifestation until gates were dealt with. The church was prevented from manifestation until gates were dealt with. You will not manifest until gates are dealt with. There is no luck. There is no chance. And if you deal with your gates, suddenly, everything men try to do will be a waste. Men will gang up and say, this guy is arrogant, he won't succeed. That's your arrogance. Some people will now say, is boldness. Men will say, this guy is disorganized, he's not oriented. That your disorganization, they will call it fire. Because the things that people want to use to discredit you will become your horn. But if your gate is not dealt with, even your greatest caution will be turned against you. So what determines how men see you and how men walk with you, how men serve you, is either you have dealt with your gate or not. This is not sentiment. This is not emotion. This is reality. The gates of Hades. Is there a gate standing against your destiny? Is there a gate standing against your business? Is there a gate standing against your ministry? It will go down today. It will go down today. Let me show you how gates work. The first way gates work is by propaganda. Gates work by propaganda. If this arrow is shot at you, you will be amazed. You will be the most anointed man. Yet, a generation will reject you, even up to the point of death, and they won't repent. The arrow of propaganda. Many princes have been dethroned by this arrow because they never dealt with it. You see a young man growing, and every day they keep lying against him. False accusations. And then he thinks it's because somebody hates him. You are in one location, they accuse you. You go to another location, they accuse you. You go to another location, they accuse you. You assume the people hate you. And sometimes people are foolish to think it's because they are fair. Your complexion has nothing to do with the business. It is a gate fighting you. And when propaganda is used, what it does is that it weakens your inner power. So the energy of God within you that you need to launch into destiny, it will diffuse it. So the more propagandas buffet you, the weaker you become on the inside. And the more weaker you are on the inside, the less of your destiny you will see manifest. This thing I'm telling you is deployed in the battle of kings. When a king wants to fight another king, till today they use it in wrestling. When a king wants to fight another king, what he does is that he sends men ahead, and they come with theories to frighten and to weaken and to intimidate you. And then they tell you, did you hear the story of what we did when we passed through a nation by your right hand? Did you hear the story of what happened on the left? In case you didn't hear, we killed everybody. We took all their women and children and divided the spoil because the king refused to bow. And suddenly, because of that news you have heard, your ability and your resolve to step into destiny dies. And then you discover that you begin to fight yourself from within even before your enemy comes. It's a weapon of propaganda. Are you worked in ministry before? And then because they saw that your light is shining, and then the next thing news start going everywhere. Now this guy did this. This guy did that. You know you didn't do anything, but nobody wants to hear. And all of a sudden you die inside. And after a while, your ministry vanishes. You don't know it's an intelligent of gates. Propaganda is a weapon that gates use to bring down destinies and the potentials of nations. Have you not known that many nations today have lost foreign investors because of internet propaganda? They tell you that the place is volatile, there is bomb everywhere, nothing is happening, and the people who are advancing that propaganda are cashing out every day. Meanwhile, the nation rot in penury because the people that are willing to invest suddenly push back and they assume that the place is inhabitable. It is the workings of gates. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32 from verse 17 to 19, King Hezekiah wanted to fight a nation the Assyrian nation. And then the king sent men to him, Sennacherib. And Sennacherib came to him and began to tell him terrible things. King Hezekiah had already spoken to his army that, don't worry, we will win. I'm telling you the thing some of you are going through. Some of you, the reason you can no longer advance is because they have painted a wrong imagery around your life and your total potential. And it looks as if in you is nothing. So you now live at the mercy of others. This is what the Bible calls an abomination on the face of the earth, that princes are walking on foot while beggars are riding on horses. A man who should stand up and bring deliverance to a territory, because they have weakened his resolve through propaganda, he is now a slave of people. It's one of the laws of seduction. People use propaganda to enslave others. So instead of you rising, you will never see yourself on top. You always see yourself to be best a slave. This is what has robbed Africa. When an African man goes to school, he's going to school to learn so that he will serve. When a white man is going to school, he's going to school to learn so that he will lead. The difference between the child of a slave and the child of a king is mentality. It's not the throne, it's not royalty, it's mentality. The child of the slave, even if he has a PhD, he's seeing the opportunities that his PhD will give him to serve another. But the child of a king, if he has first school living certificate, is learning how to give command with that first school living certificate. It is here. Propaganda will disrupt your mentality until you see yourself only good enough to be a slave. It is the function of a gate. King Hezekiah had buttressed the confidence of his soldiers. He told them that they have number, but we have God on our side. And when the king heard that King Hezekiah was boasting in the name of his God, he now sent men to the land. And he began to insult the God of Israel. First, he told them, did you not hear what happened to the nations we visited? How that they depended on their God, and their God disappointed them, and we destroyed them with their God. What makes you feel your own God can save you? And suddenly the army became weak. Meanwhile, in that battle, not one arrow was shot in Israel. The king died. In verse 20 of that scripture, the Bible said, an angel of the Lord went into the camp of the Assyrians and destroyed them utterly, until the king ran back to his country. And when the king went to worship his own God, he said his own men pounced on him and tore him apart. So a king that can self-destruct would have defeated the nation of Israel by the instrument of propaganda. Some of the things you run from are the things God has put in place to announce you. But propaganda made you consider defeat before the battle came. It's the battle of gates. When you know that a gate is at work, find out what strategy that gate is using. If it is propaganda, refuse to die inside. If you keep yourself alive inside, not too long, because the instrumentality of his weapon is propaganda, over time you will run out of intelligence. Because when propaganda doesn't work, the person doing it becomes weary. So you will defeat the person by weariness if you refuse to be depleted on your inside. Many people are easily depleted. And when I begin to talk about the weapons we use against gate, you will see the role of prayer. Prayer is not just No. When we are in the midst of battle, every form of prayer has a definite purpose it achieves. And one of the purposes that prayer achieves in dealing with gates is to sustain internal energy and to keep it there. That's why in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The word strong in the Lord is the word kratos. The word power of his might is the word iskus. Those are internal powers. They are not external. Remember, when you are dealing with the demonic realm, you need two kinds of power. The first power you need is exousia. Exousia is delegated authority. It commands. Dunamis is the second power. Dunamis changes circumstances. But exousia and dunamis will never work unless you have iskus and kratos. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19, he said God was able to raise Jesus from the dead by the iskus kratos of his dunamis. Because without iskus kratos, power will never work.
Look at it, Ephesians 1:19. It says, God is by the exceeding greatness of his power. That word is dunamis. To us what who believe, according to the working of his, this mighty power, is actually iskus kratos. So dunamis works according to iskus kratos. So a man who doesn't have internal energy, even though he has a exousia, he will have no result. A man who doesn't have internal energy, even if he has dunamis, it will not work. So he said, when you are engaging the spirit, in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, in the iskus of his kratos. Because if you allow propaganda diffuse your internal energy, you are gone. Many people have lost the battle of life by the instrumentality of propaganda. Somebody looks at you and say, wait, now you, they call yourself apostle. When they tell you like that, look up and say, yes, na me. Wait. So this one man are apostle. Some come now and they are manipulated by demons and they go and write online. Nowadays everybody is an apostle. I don't know how others became, but me, God told me. So I am not intimidated. If you like, let all of you write it. I don't care. Jesus told me, I have raised you as an apostle. And when nobody believed it, I say, I am an apostle. Paul writes, he said, Paul, a servant of Jesus, an apostle and a preacher of the gospel. Some stand up and say, everybody now, they are talking potters. They are talking dimension. Every day I preach, I will call potters and dimension. This man talking to you is too loaded to be intimidated. Even Hades, they know. They say they are calling dimension, they are calling potter. Some say big English. If you are intimidated, go and read. I am calling potters and dimension. Cancer is leaving people. You who is teaching basic doctrine, how many manifestations do you have? And by the mercy of God, I have test of character. I'm not intimidated by any. People have no message for their generation. They are talking nonsense. It's called propaganda. It's one of the manipulations of Gates. Many people have run out of ministry because they use gate to manipulate them out. Many people have failed in business because they use gate to manipulate them out. Be bold about your distinction. Your peculiarity is your mark. Don't throw it away because of somebody else's gullible sentiment. Please sit down. These are real life issues. In the early 80s and 90s, when the church age was launched, every young man was a pastor. And when they grew, they became reverends. And then they became bishops. It is peculiar to the move of God. And I'm not saying everybody should go and call themselves apostles. But if God says you are an apostle, let no man intimidate you. Let no man intimidate you. Because if they get your internal energy, you are gone. If they weaken you, you are finished. That's the job of propaganda. This is why sometimes we lock the door and we pray. Because I sense all of a sudden that my confidence is diffusing. Quickly, I lock away from everybody. And I go back there. When I finish and I come out, the mountains I saw before I enter, they become a moo when I come out. The cat that entered the room comes out as a lion. The weakling that entered the room comes out as a mustang. And then you are wondering, this guy is arrogant. You don't know what is going on. It's an internal economy. Keep quiet, you will die. I'm telling you, this is life, the life of victory. If you keep quiet, you will die. Now, if you start doing anything, what why? They are rushing. They are rushing. Rushing where? A man is over 30, you say it's rushing. He has served God for 20 years. You say it's rushing. Is he at the age of 90 and we wake up? Kenneth E. Hagin started preaching at the age of 15. E.W. Kenyon preached at the age of 17. Bishop Oedipo said, early to rise, early to shine. Pastor Christo Akinome did his first crusade in 1980. That it took you 40 years to become great doesn't mean everybody will be 40 years. And I am not against process. I went through process. But there are many things I learned working with God. Many people have become complacent. We are a generation of complacent people. Young men doing nothing. You see 30 graduates gathered in one spot doing nothing. If you ask them, they say process. Who told you process is inactive life? Because they have weakened their internal energy. Go and find out how many professions and how many ministries men started in their 30s. Everybody making impact, more than 70% of them started in their teens. Teens. The men who do it when they are 40, they write it as record because it's unheard of. Wake up and refuse the tool of propaganda. These are the gates over Africa that have made us slaves forever. When you travel out of this country, you see boys of 18 years traveling. Meanwhile, in Africa, a man of 28 years wants to travel, he's still confused. He goes to the embassy for interview, he's taught me. There are gates that have kept us in captivity. It is in Africa that you see a man of 30. They are holding him and leading him everywhere like a blind man. He's like a baby. At 30, you will not see it anywhere in the world. There are professors outside this country at the age of 23. There are CEOs at the age of 20 outside this country. Bishop Oedipo said he went for a conference at one time when he wanted to start either Covenant University or what's the other one now? Landmark University. And then he went for a conference of agriculture. I think it's Landmark University. And then one of the boys that came to represent one university that Bishop Oyedepo and his VC went for was 22 years old. And then you are here, you say, we are still young. You are a joke. The day you will wake up, you will be 60 years old. Your strength would have gone. If some of us were to be easily intimidated, you won't see us here. I'm not brooding arrogance, and I'm not undermining process, but I'm telling you, early to rise, early to shine. And in case you have risen, don't allow the horn of propaganda destroy your internal energy. Sometimes what we need is not impartation, it's truth, so that we wake up. How can you wake up? You are not doing anything, you are 25, and you lie down at home. You have prayed for 5 years, you say nothing is happening, you lie down. And many sisters have been entrapped because men have become useless. They use the name of God and visions to marry sisters that are visionary and tie them to one spot. Why do you think many sisters don't want to marry the brothers? You come from morning to night. You are talking about an encounter and a vision. What has your encounter translated to? And you want a young girl who has vision. After I marries you, all the money she has raised from her business, that money becomes what promotes the ministry. Because you have no... You are mighty on your throne. You reign. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. See, God knows my heart, that my heart is pure. But I need to tell you this truth. God knows my heart. I'm obligated to tell you this truth. Because God has given me the horn to address the younger generation. And if you have listened to my messages, you know I have taught process. They are in catalogs. But process is not complacency. Wake up. Propaganda has killed many destinies. The second arrow of Gates is terror. The Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of boldness, of love, and of a sound mind. The word sound mind is the word sophronismos. It means the ability to think by God. It's a creative mentality. It's a mentality that self-resuscitates. Now, when a gate wants to perpetually lock you down, he sends the arrow of terror. And then nothing is chasing you, but you are running. And then you discover that a point comes, you become too scared to do anything. Listen, there is honor in failing. It is better to try and fail than sit down and do nothing. Many people think that failure is a curse, so they do nothing. It's a lie. Most of the men that changed their world failed many, many, many times, but they didn't allow the horror of fear enslave them. Most of us, the reason we are so afraid that we can do nothing is because arrows of terror have been shot at us. When I started traveling ministry, they told me there are some territories that are hard. Even when I wanted to leave Nigeria, they said, about international ministry, no be joke. I said, what thing make a difference? What you call international is another person's home. This is my own home. If the guy is coming to my home, he makes it international. Meanwhile, I'm not going to that country to talk to demons. I'm going to talk to men. And my father and the Lord said, let's go to Ghana. When I stood and I roared, the horse scattered. I'm preaching in Nigeria. People are being healed in Peru. And you are telling me if I go to Peru, it's hard, it's hard. And then that terror will keep some people here. They say, oh boy, wait too. And then, no be smart enough. If the devil binds you with fear, you are finished. Do you know why many are not married? They have threatened them with marrying wrongly. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take caution when you marry. But don't become too afraid that you are afraid of marrying. Many people can't marry because fear, not caution. They have become too afraid of marriage and they wasted all their chances. The brother is coming every day. Suitors are coming. They say, this guy, the way I'm seeing it, are you sure he won't have temper? Are you sure he won't do it? Are you sure? And they drift into uncertainty. There is nothing on earth, no institution on earth is without problems. If you allow fear enslave you, you will never move forward in life. When a gate, you know, when we talk about gates, people think people are tied down. No. There are strategies that gates deploy. You may not be bound by ropes, but you can be bound by fear. And when they put you in that tight corner of fear, that those spirits can go and rest. See the way we are in this country today. Everybody is living in fear. Hope you know that the source of the born woman, their weapon of advancement is terrorism. That's why terrorism has become so popular, because it's one of the weapons that gates use. They tell you they have slaughtered everybody, and they say if you cough, you will die. If you don't die for a purpose, then what are you living for? The first time I wanted to go to the north, they told us, oh boy, northern Nigeria. I told myself, it will not happen. Nothing can happen. And when we invaded the territory of the north, the moment we entered the north, we began to perceive fear and death. And I told myself, if this is where death dwells, then we will come here frequently. Because the proof that we have life is that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death and we fear no evil. It was Jude that was preaching in the morning. He said, the best thing a spirit can give to you is not a blessing, is his presence. When a spirit tells you, I will be with you, is the greatest blessing you will have. Myself and Ogbe were traveling to Taraba State, and we were already late. I was to minister that day. And when we reached the border of Taraba, now that's Zakibian and Taraba, the driver now dropped us and told us, Benue people don't cross over there. It's only the Hausas that cross, and those who cross, it is the drivers from Okari that will pick them. So the drivers from Okari will come there, pick the people, go back. And then this one will drop here. In case you are a Hausa man and you want to cross, they will carry you. Looked at ourselves, I told myself, this JCCF meeting, can it be postponed? I turned and looked at Ogbe, hoping that he will bring wisdom in the direction of caution. If you are a lion, don't travel with somebody who is as bold as you. Because sometimes you people will just run into danger. And you know the problem? If the spirit of comedy is there, when you are dying, you hold yourself and say, we died like the last man. We died. When I looked at my brother, he was ready to go. Me, who is leading? Am I the one who will cover? And I say, if we die, this is the place. Paul and Barnabas, this be the man that has added their lives for the gospel. The moment we crossed the border, the first military checkpoint we saw was desolate. The second was desolate. And when we crossed to the third, we saw a dead man on the ground. And the Hausa man that carried us said, they had an attack this morning, they killed somebody. So the moment he reaches 5-6, the others will retaliate. And I checked my time, it was 3:58. When you are afraid, don't hear stories. Don't hear stories. Just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. I checked, it was 3:58. Why did he say, no, 4 o'clock, anything can happen. You know, they have chance, they can disappear. You know, you are the only person working with a spirit that you think is psychology. When you come to church, you will do psychology. If you go to real life experience, there's no psychology there. It's power. And we say nothing that happened. We went. That meeting we went for, the move of power was terrible. If you saw what God did. The next day, somebody came to the venue with a pot, killed a chicken, and was putting the blood around the camper because the energy we generated there was affecting the territory. Meanwhile, we would have turned back because of terror. Many people have backed out of destiny because of fear. Don't be afraid of failing, but do your best. If you do your best and you fail, you failed honorably. Fear will take you nowhere. One of the ways gates enslave people is terror. Do you see in Nigeria today, nobody is talking? Why? Not because they don't know what to say, but terror. And the people who are in positions of authority, that the emancipation of the nation is in their hand, are also quiet. If everybody rises and says, we will talk today, the country will repair itself. Because you can't kill everybody at the same time. But fear will silence us until we die one by one. But it's not our portion. This is how gates work. It's a complex matter. I'm giving you this because if you see it at an individual level, you will know what to do. See those meetings you are afraid of going for. That's where you see the biggest manifestation. You are supposed to go and preach and you are afraid. Hey, what will happen? Oh God, what will happen in this meeting? Hey. And then the moment you climb the altar, you say, Father! And then the power of God begins to move. Then you now wake up and say, I can't prepare. If you don't conquer fear, you are already a slave. Some people are slaves in palaces. I learned it. I went to NYC orientation camp one time to preach. That was like 5 years ago. If you see the auditorium, it was massive. Meanwhile, it was just one night. I traveled all the way to Kaaba. And then the hall, they were just building it. The windows were open. Everywhere was open. When it was 1 hour to the meeting, lo and behold, it started raining. Hope you know, when everywhere is cold, if you don't have power, you are in trouble. Because the people who come for the meeting, they are trying to, they don't even pay attention to you. They are dealing with cold. When you are praying in tongues, it will be a pounding. To make things worse, the hall was open everywhere. I said, Holy Ghost! Yes! Fear gripped my heart. And I stood up. I preached for 1 hour, 30 minutes. Nothing happened. Because I was preaching, I was hoping that when I begin to ascend, some movements will begin. No movement. In fact, if I hold the microphone like this, air will be passing through it. And you'll be hearing. So I had to hold my mic like this. I finished preaching. I encouraged myself in the Lord. And God was merciful. He gave me a word of knowledge. Of a boy. I can remember it because that was a ground of terror. He said his father was a pastor. But his father was killed. His mother was killed. And him now, God is telling him to go to ministry, but he's afraid. The boy, he said he was tall, hairy, and he had issues with his eyes. I said, thank God, at least I have a graphic word of knowledge. When I called the word, nobody came out. You don't know what we go through here. You came for a meeting with only expectation. You think, hey, things will happen here. The man here is suffering. You don't know what is happening. If you don't confront your fear, you can't minister here. You say, somebody has migraine. That time the person is dozing off in the meeting. You say, by the left hand side, somebody has ear condition. The person is now ashamed. How can I come out so that people will know that I'm sick? He doesn't know that one, God wants to save him, and two, your integrity is at stake. And then after the meeting, then they will throw a meeting. And they say, man of God, I was the person that they were. Those earlier days, sometimes I feel like slapping. Sometimes, out of anger, I will tell them, the anointing to heal you was in the meeting. I don't have it anymore. Go. Everybody that came for the meeting with expectation, we now go and say, come. We don't even know, say this guy is a fake man. Because somebody was intimidated. And they now come to you at the end of the meeting. Sir, I'm so sorry. I was the one you were talking about. What's that? Go and meet the organizer of the meeting. God had to begin to teach me compassion. How do you explain to everybody that you were there? Do you now go for your next meeting and prophesy? Because what that guy did is an attack on your ministry. If you don't conquer fear, you can never move in the supernatural. So when gates begin to bring terror, they are cutting you off from your supernatural supply. The angels that work with you, the systems of heaven that come to intervene, they are activated on the premise of faith. But when you become afraid, you cut off that supply. Where do you think we look up to that we are not ashamed? It's the mountains of God. But when you are afraid, you look down. The reason many people have no intervention in their life is because the arrow of terror have emasculated them and they are in captivity. And I'm not just talking ministry, even in business. You try two businesses, it's crumbled. The next money that comes, instead of investing, they will shoot fear and say, save it in the bank. How much do you get saving your money in the bank? 3%. There's no wisdom in it. That's why wise men say, only those who take risk are qualified to succeed. And he said, men who win, they continue from where quitters quit. Because they have resolved that they will not let fear intimidate them. What did the apostles do? When Jesus left them, a young church, the Sanhedrin called them. You know, this time they didn't have influence. How do you flog married men? To show you the way they treated them like babes and children who had no value in society. Imagine people are preaching boldly. Say, come here, come here. Lie down here. And they flog. When they flog them, they now say, don't ever preach in the name of that man. They didn't even say that man. The people came back, they were afraid. And say, the first thing they said they did, they returned to their company. Because not all of them were flogged. There was somebody else that was not flogged, so his confidence was not depleted. And when I start teaching you how to deal with guilt, I will tell you the intelligence of networking. And as they spoke to their friends, all of a sudden, these people who were afraid, one now say, oh God, why was I not there to be beaten with them? The guy that was now beaten said, oh, but wait, is it an honor to be beaten? The other one said, Jesus, why didn't you count me worthy of suffering reproach? After a while, as they mingled with them, energy was transferred. That's why I said, behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. It's like the oil upon the head of Aaron to his beard, down to his head. There the Lord commanded. Can I tell you the intelligence of networking? When we begin to ascend in the spirit, something happens. You'll be amazed because it's beyond this fellowship. We are praying now, we are talking, we are together. When we ascend in the spirit, you'll be shocked that there's a realm we will enter and we will collide with the mantle of Paul. And all of a sudden, everybody will start having different revelation. There's a place we will enter in the spirit. You will collide with the very patriarch, Archbishop Benson in Tahosa, because they didn't die. The Bible said they are spirit of just men made perfect. We are in Zion. Those in heaven are also in Zion, but there are different locations in Zion. The intelligence of networking is that when you begin to ascend, a point comes, you meet a man that did the job you are doing now. So you begin to draw from his energy. You draw from his wisdom. That's why the Bible said, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment glistened, and there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, and they told him what he would do in Jerusalem. We are not alone. But what is the quality of your network? The guys return to their own company. Some of our companies are not on earth. They are in Zion. They are in Zion. So when you are intimidated, enter your room and begin to pray. And after a while, as you open your eye, then you will look at Enoch. And then Enoch will tell you what he did in his day. And you will return to your day with a wisdom of 2,000 years old. They will say you are 30, you are not 30 years old. You are more than 2,000 because you are functioning with the wisdom of the ancient. That's what men do. That's what men do. They are scrolls in the spirit. They are scrolls. There are dimensions in heaven. There are entities in Zion. But how high can you travel? We are not disadvantaged. There's too much in our favor. He was quoting Revelation 19 this morning. John was cast to the eye called Patmos to die. But in Patmos, he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And as I turned, he said, a door appeared in heaven. And they said, come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. Come on. And when he entered heaven, he saw a man that was like an angel. He wanted to worship him. He said, worship me not. I am one of your brethren. When that man comes down, he can't be afraid. The man that was afraid suddenly came down. And he said, he met him that was called the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. The first and the last. The one who was, who is, and who is to come. And he said, these letters, I write to the seven churches. How can a man in the valley of death be writing letters to the churches? Because he has met people. He has met entities. He has met thrones and dimensions. It was there that one of the elders came to him and said, weep not. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are not alone. Refuse to be terrorized. When fear comes, ascend the mountains of God. You who ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Vera Holina Paila Katina Park. Sit down, brothers and sisters. I don't want to accept. Listen. I was teaching, hear me. I was teaching in Kaduna last weekend. I came to the hall tired. The moment I carried the mic, my voice went. And while I was talking, all of a sudden, John the Baptist entered the building. And I told the people, John has entered this place. Instantly, even me, my energy changed. And all of us began to cry. Oh, Kaduna was held spellbound. That's networking. How can you be terrorized? How? Do you know what the apostles went through? The Bible said Peter was put in the midst of 16 soldiers in chains. If you keep quiet, you are dead. Paul and Silas, they were beaten and kept in chain. He said, but when midnight came, he said, Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly networking began. He said, an angel came down from heaven, and when the angel landed on the building, he said, the foundation of the building shook, and every door opened the own accord. The man that arrested him brought his whole family midnight and said, please save us. If you can network, your captor can become your captive. Please sit down. The third weapon of Gates is the manipulation of spiritual laws. This one affects babes. When a gate wants to make you a slave, it will make you violate the laws of the spirit realm. Have you seen young people? They stand up and tell you, tithing is wrong. They are not going to tithe. You know why it pains me? It's the poor that say things like that. The rich don't say it. Meanwhile, you need to understand that we are in different kingdoms. If you enter politics now as a Christian, the man who is not a Christian can kill virgins and bury them and win. You can't. You function by a different law. So it is foolishness for you to now join the world system and fight against the law that makes for your growth. There are many laws in this kingdom that makes us invincible. When a prince or a gate wants to make you a slave, what he does is that it makes you begin to violate laws. So princes that you should rule over becomes your master. He said, whoever you yield yourself servant to obey, the servant of him you are, whom you have obeyed. This is not about law of Moses. We are talking realms higher than the atonement of Israel. When Adam was in the garden, he was the god of the visible realm. Adam had intercourse with God every day. Adam was functioning at the intelligence of God. The Bible said in Genesis 2:19 that whatever name Adam called the animals, that was the name thereof. That means that was the name God called those animals before they were created. Adam went to a realm before creation. That's the realm of Elohim himself. But what happened? The prince came and told him, if you eat of the fruit, you will not surely die. You will not surely die. What does that mean? He doesn't know it's the language of rebellion. And in Luke chapter 4 verse 6, the man who deceived Adam came back to Jesus and said, bow to me, I will give you all the glory of the world, for it has been delivered to me. In the garden, it looked as if Satan was giving Adam something. But in reality, Adam was giving Satan something. He handed over every authority to the devil. Why? He violated laws. When people don't understand the power of laws, they think laws is just about the Ten Commandments. Every time a man, grace does not give you, does not exonerate you from keeping the law. Grace empowers you rather to keep it. The only difference is that it is no longer keeping the law that justifies you. It is Christ that justifies you. Notwithstanding, you will keep it. Because the law is no longer the basis for your acceptance, but the law becomes your life in the spirit. Because the laws of God derive from the nature of God. Every time you violate those laws, you make yourself a slave. Because every law you see is the reflection of the nature of a spirit. Immorality is the nature of a spirit. Lying is the nature of a spirit. And whoever you yield yourself servants to obey, the servant of him you are whom you have obeyed. That's why things happen to men. Because when you come under their law and system, you begin to live and manifest their intents. And the intent of the devil is that the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, he said, casting down imagination and every high standing thing that opposes itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity all things to the obedience of Christ, that when your obedience is fulfilled, then you can avenge other disobedience. When gates want to enslave you, they make you violate laws. They make you violate principles. You see a man is sleeping every day, and he said he will be the apostle over Nigeria. He will say he will open his ministry, will cut across the globe. How? There are definite principles to be kept. The principle of hard work. The principle of knowledge acquisition. The principle of giving and receiving. The principle, many principles, you will obey them. If you lose track of this principle, you will be a slave. You will be the most anointed, but you will go nowhere. And when a prince wants to seduce you, he will make you undermine laws and principles. This realm is governed by laws. There's no way you can succeed here without obeying them. I traveled out of this country. I went to a nation that was 3 hours ahead of us. I was doing what I was doing. And I looked at time, it was 3 a.m. in the morning. I said, what is happening here? 4 a.m. It was around 5 a.m. I started feeling sleepy. And when I slept, I woke up around 11 a.m. I said, what is happening here? I didn't know that even my body had begun to obey the law of the time of Nigeria. So when I left to another country, my body had not adjusted to their time. So I was in their country watching time on my watch, but my body was keeping another time. So my body was conscious of the law that governed the territory where I came from. How do you function in the realm of God without obeying the laws of the spirit? People deceive themselves. And when a prince knows you are ignorant, he will make you violate them. Violate them. And then you think, oh boy, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen now, but after a while, something will happen. You will see the people you were mentoring go ahead of you. And then you say, Lord, why am I not favored? It's not about favor. It's about laws and principles. Don't find yourself violating law. When it becomes difficult for you to do the right thing, know that you're under attack. As a preacher, there are times when I minister until I'm depleted. And it becomes difficult to pray. I will gather myself and say, this week is 10 out of principles. Know how to function circumspectly. Else, you'll be a slave. One of the ways gates make a slave of people is to make them violators of laws and principles. They are irresponsible to laws and principles, and they don't know why. And that's how their seasons will come and go. Their seasons will come and go. Their seasons will come and go. They won't know why. A season of their manifestation comes, and the law of the spirit for them is pray. Pray. They know it as if it's a sin if they don't pray. But they have allowed another principle to dominate them. And for 2 months, pray until 2 months passes. And then they think it's normal. The next time they will hear pray will be 4 years. And then this set of four years passes 5 times. They are 30 years, they have not yet manifested. And then all of a sudden,
Even people they mentored 4 years ago, they are running for their meeting. Say, lay hands on me. Lay hands on me. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. The fourth way that gates make men slave is to use their lust over them. So their lust begins to rule them. When your lust begins to rule you instead of the will of God, know that you are already a slave. What that does is that it blinds you. You know, the Bible said the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. Remember, we are dealing with everlasting doors. But I'm talking about gates first. Because gate is what allows or prevents you from accessing everlasting doors. And the door is Christ. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 14, Jesus said, he is the way of the door. In John chapter 10 verse 7 and 9, he said, I am the door. So we are talking, before you can reach the everlasting doors, you must deal with gates. If you don't access gates, you can't access doors. And that's why Psalm 24 verse 7 says, lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door. There are many things in Christ, the door. You will not have them until you pass through the gates. Hope you know that many people have healing ministries, but they will never pray for any sick person to be healed. That healing ministry is in Christ, the door. But the gates prevent them. They live for their loss for 30 years. Meanwhile, the requirements of the anointing, like Joel was saying in the morning, the consecration of the anointing requires that they pray or they worship or they stay in solitude, but their loss won't let them. 1 Kings chapter 20 verse 39 or so, he said, my Lord gave me a servant to keep. He said, and as I was busy here and there, I lost him. And he said, your life for your lost. The guy wakes up, they say, birthday party, he's there. They say, they are wedding here, he's there. They say, there is a crusade here, he's everywhere. Because his loss is dragging him. They say, they are watching a football match. A prophet watches every football match. He's an analyst, he's better than ESPN. And then when he comes for meeting, he says, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. You have departed from mercy. He says, an evangelist. He will be busy till 5 minutes to the crusade. Then he comes as he's wearing his trousers. Father, thank you because we will heal the sick today. If you carry the cripple from which you will fall and become more crippled. Preach the highest revelation. Scream the name of Jesus like an earthquake. Nothing will happen. You are a violator of principles. It will be injustice for that dimension to respond to you. Because the dimensions are kept by their consecrations. Don't allow your lust rule you. The Bible said lust war against your soul. He war against your soul. The investment of God will never manifest. How do you deal with gates? If I continue with the operations of gates, we will sleep here. So let me mention 3 ways of dealing with gates. And then we'll begin to make pronouncements. You think they become CEOs by snoring? I heard Bishop Oedeko. He said he has kept 16 hours active work for 28 years. He says, it's not surprised that they are where they are. He thanked God. But if they were not there, he would have been surprised. Go and find out how many mates he has in ministry. Then you know the place of principle. Don't argue with things that have made men and have defied territories and seasons. You don't succeed being lazy at anything. How do you deal with gates? One, authority. You know, in Psalm 24, when he came, he just gave a command. Lift up your hands, O ye gates. That's authority. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. But the thing with authority is that, one,
it must have an identity. That's why the gate responded, "Who are you that we should lift up our head? Who are you? Who is talking?" If there's no identity, authority can never be enacted. There's no authority that exists in limbo. When John was baptizing, the Sanhedrin came to him and said, "By what authority have you come baptizing?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Make a way for the Lord." If there's no identity, there can never be authority. Now, what identity do we have? If I ask you, what is your identity, what will you say? I want to show you why you see men do things with ease. What is your identity? No, sit down, brother. In the spirit, all of us have one identity. It's Christ. If you come in your name, you are God. Don't hear that A.A. Allen said, "I am A.A. Allen," and demons left. You will cut your head off. This is why we all pray in the name of Jesus. We all fast in the name of Jesus. He said, "Whatsoever you do, do in the name of the Lord." Don't build your confidence on your prayer. You say, "I prayed for 3 days now, so I can take the mountain." You will die. You will die. Is it good to pray? Yes. Is it good to fast? Fast. But whatsoever you do, do in the name of the Lord. Many prayer warriors are failures. Very gallant failures. Many. Many prophets are failures. Many apostles are failures. Many politicians are failures. Why? They want to create an identity that has no authority in the spirit. So in Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 9, the labor that we need to labor to generate identity is that Christ labored already. So he gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. If I come here to create restoration because I'm Apostle Mike, I will excite you, we go back to your crisis. A man must create consciously and learn to understand his identity in Christ. This is not just to stand up today and say, "I'm of Christ, I'm of Christ." You need to understand, how did I become of Christ? It should be rooted in your heart. It is when it's there that your prayer can resonate on that frequency. If you don't have that understanding, you will say it when... I remember, and this is not about whether you're a preacher or it has nothing to do with your title. We were going for a meeting. We have suffered. we have suffered. Myself and my friend Victor were going for a meeting, and then all of a sudden, after we moved for like 10 minutes, we heard in the bus. That was the days when I traveled until my backbone began to pain me every day. So when I sit down for a while, I stand up like this. Have you seen Smeagol in Lord of the Rings? I walk like I. My back, there was damage. There was damage. And then when this bus traveling, after a while, they say, hey, fire. Before the driver stopped the car, Apostle have moved through the window. As I ran from the back of the bus, when I turned, Victor was across the gutter. As we were running, we now remember. Some people were in the bus. So we now came back and opened the door and took off. Meanwhile, some people were in the bus shouting, "Jesus! Hey, Jesus!" And you are saying Jesus and you are running like that. Let me tell you, see, the identity thing is not a cliche. You need to sit down and meditate on it consciously. How did you sustain that identity? You sustain that identity because you are born of God. So it is not a gift. It is a right. It is a right. It is something bequeathed you because you have become an heir of God. So when we use the name of Jesus, we are not begging. It is our right in that we are born of God. That's why when you use the name of Jesus, the only thing you are permitted to do is to command. But if you don't know you are born of God, you will carry the name of Jesus like me and you will run until you resolve. Meanwhile, this was the apostle that people were waiting for in a crusade to come and bring emancipation. Apostle carried the name of Jesus in the pocket, and apostle was relying on his legs and his athletic powers. I had to sit down and resolve the matter, because there are men that a house will be on fire. They say, Jesus, peace be still, because every knee shall bow, not at the mention, but at the name. At the name is different from at the mention. At the name means you are coming in the premise of that name. That's why we blow on people, they fall down. That's why A.A. Allen will say, I am A.A. Allen. He was standing on the name of Jesus. But too many believers don't have an identity in Christ. Because identity in Christ is a function of understanding. We are born of God. And he said, you are heirs, joint heirs with Christ, and heirs of God. So it is your right. And when you know it's your right, even when you wake up, if you call the name of Jesus, you will not move. You rather die calling it. The second thing you need to understand about the name of Jesus is that before that name was given, every principality was defeated. So the name was not given to you for trial and error. The name was already tested and trusted before it was handed over. He said, having spoiled principalities and power. These are basic things. People, I told you, people love mysteries, but they don't know the basics. That's why the mysteries become too bogus for them. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public, not secret, a public spectacle of them. So it doesn't matter if it's a demon of manipulation, or a demon of terror, or a demon of intimidation, or a demon of violence. Those days when we are very young people. When I say those days, it's not, don't get me wrong. Few years ago, when we started deliverance ministry, it's usually easier when a lady is possessed. You can throw and put your hand in your pocket and say, look at me. Look here. And they are emotional and they are usually weak. Very only few ladies are possessed by violent demons. But when a man is possessed, Before they bring the man, they will tell you his track record. They say the last time he stabbed somebody on the chest and he died. And then the last time two people held him, they broke the jaw of the other man. And when they are bringing the man, and then to make this worse, they now bring him in short knicker. And then you see the cantus. When the man do like... So when they are conducting deliverance on a man, you see four people holding him. In the name of Jesus. In the name. Because we have not understood the power of the name. They were more confident casting out demons from ladies, not men. But when confidence came, when we understood, we now realize that the violent ones are the weaker ones. if you know what you carry. So when they are manifested, sometimes you just come and stand. You won't say anything. After a while, the demon will keep quiet. The violent ones are weak. That's why they do all the charade. But if you don't know your authority, they will mess you up. Have you not seen that many ladies are afraid of deliverance? Because they are afraid of the violence. But it's not about energy, it's about authority. If you understand that every prince in darkness was defeated before the name was given, issues of doubt will not exist. It's just like you carry a gun, no matter how the lion is jumping. All you need to do is to shoot. I don't need too much energy to pull the trigger. The whole power is already invested in the gun. My job is to use it. But if I were carrying a cutlass, I may need some strength. Because I need to hit very fast. The name of Jesus have already done the job. It has proven it before it was handed over. So your job is not to look at what the enemy is doing. It's to grab the name and believe it. Your battle is the battle of trust. If you can believe the name, just focus on the name. And you will be amazed at the manifestation. But many people don't know that Jesus already fought. They were just brought into the victory parade. They think they are still going to struggle. So they use so much energy. Have you not noticed that when we did deliverance 5-6 years ago, we were shouting. Now sometimes you come, point hand, say, get up. You get up. Sometimes you even cast a demon out, they are still manifesting, you leave them. You know whether the demon likes it or not, he will go out. And you are not so impressed when they come back and tell you, hey, the demon later went. He has no choice. But when you didn't understand, in a neighbor, you are casting out demon, you are sweating more than the demonized. So if they come quickly, they will find out who is the demonized person here, because from what we are seeing, the person who is suffering here is the man of God. No, it's not physical energy. It is authority in the spirit. But if you don't know what you carry, you will carry it, yet you will suffer. You tell some people, come and cast out demon. They now form cycle. They are speaking in tongues. Shaba, shaba, ebalaba, orababa, orababa. And they say, oh boy, we deal with that demon for 3 hours. No, you dealt with yourself for 3 hours. No. We don't speak in tongues to demons. You command them to go in the name of Jesus. But the efficacy of that command is predicated upon your understanding. That's the first way to deal with gates. When we come to pray over territories, when we come to pray over systems that gates are manipulating, the most significant part of that prayer is when we begin to prophesy, not when we are speaking in tongues. What we are doing, speaking in tongues, is that we want to attain a place in the spirit where we are one, so that our voice will become one. But there are many places people are praying for territories, they are praying for nations. They speak in tongues for 4 hours and they go home. You did nothing. You ascended, you became one, but you didn't address the gates. Gates are addressed by authorities. So our prayer is productive. When we have climaxed, then we begin to prophesy. If you don't command the gates to be lifted, they will never lift up your heads, O ye gates. Do you know how many prayer cells, prayer places where they are praying for Nigeria? But they are only praying, they are not making declarations. The efficacy of that prayer is when the commands are dished out. That's when change takes place. The Bible said in Genesis 1:2 that the earth was in darkness. It said the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Nothing happened. The Spirit of God can move over the water for 100 years. Nothing will happen until God said, light appear. They say, there is death in your family. There is backwardness. And then you gather every night. And when you finish, you say, thank you, Father. What have you done, sir? You charged yourself. You did nothing. But when you have ascended, then you command death, go back. You command backwardness, cease. And then when you are dealt with the gate, you now establish your own dominion. Because you don't stop there. Death doesn't just go back, you release life. Backwardness does not just see, you release speed. Because what you see is a function of what you say. That's the trigger of authority. The secret of authority is not that you have it, is that you can exercise it. Death go back, life be. Sickness in the name of Jesus, out, I release healing. So you are uprooting and you are planting. If you uproot and you don't plant, it will be void. And nature abhors vacuum. If it is void, the princes will come again. Because when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he moves about in dry places, finding where to abode. If he doesn't find, it returns. It's authorities that break gates. And when the church wants to deal with gates, we need men who have the grace for prophecy. So when we have prayed, they need to prophesy. Because if they don't prophesy, nothing will change. When we have our authority, our guns will be loaded, but we are not working with trigger. That's why many people are in captivity. They have a lot of impartation. They carry a lot of anointings. They carry a lot of graces. Nothing happens because no commandments go forth. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of... My friends know me. I learned it from Pastor Chris Yoakilome many years ago. Those days we go to pray. When we finish praying in 10, everybody is going home. Today's prayer was powerful. And we gather them around. And I say, this word will hear us. This word will not recover. I say, we will shake this word. We will bring the glory of God like the waters cover the sea. When I talk, sometimes at the road there, we will start praying in tongues again. We have nothing in our pockets. Most times, we have just 500 naira and six people want to eat without 500. But it didn't matter. When we begin to prophesy, suddenly we begin to see our yesterday in today's reality. So when today appears, we are not shocked. That's why when we come ready. I'm not coming to the altar and I'm start acting, trying to coordinate myself. I coordinated many years ago before I came here. Because I saw it and I declared it. I declared it. That's why I do it with audacity. I prophesied it. And in that prophecy, I carried myself into the future. That's how you deal with gate. You deal with gate by the exercise of authority. If you pray and you don't declare, you will do nothing. You have done nothing. You have done nothing. You just wasted that prayer energy. When you pray, prophesy. That's what moves the gate. They listen to commands. How much commands have you given? Concerning your family. Concerning your business. Concerning your nation. If you have not commanded, you have no reason to expect results. Because it is what you decree you watch out for. But many people have decreed nothing. So what are you watching out for? You are still living by luck and chance. Some people have not even prophesied to themselves. You wake up every morning, you are hoping. Who told you hope can bring manifestation? If you know how many men are hoping, you will marvel. The second way to deal with gates. Or do I stop here? 8:43, time has gone. Okay, since I'm talking about authority, we will work with authority. I wanted to use another 5 minutes to go up. You know, spiritual things are real. People, when you are talking, people think you are talking. I was in Kaduna last weekend. I told them, an angel of healing have come. And then some people were looking at me, were doing like this. All these young men these days. All these young men. I didn't say anything. I would just stand up and say, there's somebody here. I saw the angel touch your heart. The person will stand up. One old woman. The first person that came out was an old woman. She said she had a heart condition for 3 years. And when I was talking, she saw a being in white touch her heart and she fell down. When she got up, everything left. That was when some people wanted to receive. Meanwhile, at that time, the administration had ended. We were taking testimonies now. What we are doing now is giving glory to God. The time when administration had finished. Meanwhile, some people are ready when we are giving glory to God. That time, the only person permitted to receive is God. When men were receiving, they were checking. What is he saying? Now, when God is receiving, that's when they want to receive. You can't. Even the angel will forbid you. Because what's happening that time, glory is going to heaven. We don't, what we say is not talk. I was in the place of prayer, and I saw an eagle, bigger than a building, and it was just gliding. And I saw myself on the wings of the eagle, and it was moving from state to state. I said, what is this? When I got up from that vision, as Victor knows now, if I want to distribute my invitation to 30 pastors, all of us will preach every weekend for the whole year. Every weekend, if I distribute my invitations to 30 pastors. Because I ascended in the spirit. But we won't ascend now. We will use authority. Since we are talking about authority, I will do some administration now. And when we finish, we will now pray. And then I will allow the prophet to come and release some impartations and end the meeting. So where you are sitting, just pray in tongues. Lord, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign. You ancient Zion's King. Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
Hey,
What makes spiritual things beautiful is when God begins to use men that look as if they are not qualified. Then you will know this is God. Somebody just received a ring of authority, a signet of authority in the spirit. Please, don't worry. Just take care. Because it has happened to that one is a sign. So a grace will come on 7 people. They will have authority in 7 different spheres. Father, thank you. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the galleries. First layer of impartation. Everyone that grace of authority, the Lord is even making the instruction clear. 3 of these men are pastors in for ministry. There's about to be a shift on the floor and the gallery. In the name of Jesus, touch! Now there is a grace coming into this auditorium for marital bliss. For marital bliss. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, every spell that has negated settlement, both male and female, both male and female, in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, I decree let that prayer go down. Marital spells are breaking. And it's not just ladies. When we talk about marriage, don't think it's ladies. There are many men that they are confused when they come to their marriageable age. Father, right now, I open the door of marriage. Everyone that is held back and prevented from stepping into this reality, I command the spells break in the name of Jesus. Amen. Break in the name of Jesus. Amen. Break in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please stay calm. Stay calm. There is an oil of favor about to rest on them. Few of you now. It's an oil. It's an oil of favor. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, let the oil begin to drop from their head and drizzle. And let it overwhelm them now. Holy Ghost, touch! Ushers, I'm giving definite commands. Because of the way I'm led to do it. Those that God is touching, just bring them out. Bring them out. Just bring them out. It's a sign. From the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the overflow. In the name of Jesus, I release that oil now. Touch! Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord wants to put an end on financial struggle. Financial struggle. Financial struggle. The door of finance is opening over this auditorium and over this congregation. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I command the gates of wealth. Open. 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 Open.
Amen.
Open.
Amen.
Some of you, your hands will start itching you. As I'm speaking now, your hands will start itching you. About to receive grace for speed. You don't need to do anything. It's touching there because it's a sign. But you'll be shocked what will happen to you. It's a grace for speed. Some of them, their legs will literally be on fire. They won't be able to stand. They'll be wondering what's happening. And that's why I like it calm. They want to run. It's a grace. It's a grace in the name of the Lord Jesus. Over this auditorium, I release that grace. Touch. This thing God is doing is just forget the people he's touching. It's just a sign. You will go and do what you have done before that didn't work, and all of a sudden, you will be overwhelmed at your results.
because his grace has been released. People don't become leaders because they are the smartest. It's by the instrumentality of the excellent spirit. In the excellent spirit is the grace for leadership, is the grace for wisdom, and is the required favor for ascension. There's somebody here receiving an impartation of an excellent spirit. It's not about suit wearing. The last thing I want to release is fire. But I'm dealing with these matters so that people will receive definite things before they leave here. There's somebody receiving an excellent spirit. That spirit will promote you. That's what was on Daniel. And he was relevant for 65 years according to Bible history. You can't do without him. Even when Nebuchadnezzar died, when there was crisis, the wife of the king came to him and said, "There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the Holy Ghost." He said, "Light and understanding is in him, and he has the ability to explain hard sentences." These are the men that solve the crisis, the problems of society, and they are eternally relevant. Father, in the name of Jesus, such as is a recipient of that spirit, such as is a recipient of that spirit, such as is a recipient of that spirit, Holy Ghost, talk! You can't rise without an excellent spirit. There are many people that the spirit of confusion have robbed of their destiny. But tonight you step into a dimension of an excellent spirit. Everything you do, you will be in your own class. In the name of the Lord Jesus. A last impartation. This one will be violent. This one will be violent for those who will receive it. Ha! There are three kinds of angels that work with me. One of the angels that work with me are angels of fire. They are the burning ones. That's why people hear our messages, they weep, they repent. It's not because we say things that make people cry. There are 12 of you that are about to receive an impartation of fire. Please, if you can, just be sensitive. Stop the keyboard. It's not an emotional thing. Something will come on you that will drive you for a lifetime. It's an impartation of fire, the baptism of fire. Father, in the name of Jesus,
If I be a servant and a messenger of the spirit of revival, if I be a messenger of the spirit of revival, let the baptism of fire hit this building. Holy Ghost, fourth man,